God's perfect peace over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Amen. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. Finding as he promised perfect peace and rest.
All right. Amen. I love that song. And boy, what a truth. Stayed upon Jehovah. Stayed upon. Keep your eyes on him. So easy. Very much like Peter. And when he walked on that water, as he walked to the Lord, I mean, it was just he and Jesus. And nothing else at all mattered. And that faith and that focus and that sight on the Lord allowed him to just walk toward him. But the moment he took his eyes off the Lord, and really that's where it all started. It's not about the waves, not about the wind, not about his inabilities. The moment he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. Man, I tell you, what a great song. Thank you, Brother Russell. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm glad to have Miss Maria Salinas here with us tonight. I got a call from Miss York, who is a pastor's wife up at the Lakeland Street Baptist Church. Said that there is a lady in their church that wants to come to church on Wednesday night, but they don't have a van to come pick her up, and so she called us to come pick her up. So I appreciate a Christian who wants to go to church, amen, which is going to really just go right along with my message tonight. So thank you for being a good illustration for us tonight, Miss Maria. Amen. That's a blessing. All right, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking, it's not an unfamiliar passage to us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I've often read this verse, and a lot of times we liken it to Christians not participating in the church assembly, but it really goes beyond that, because oftentimes you can be faithful to the assembly and still forsake that assembling together. And I think that happens when we come in here maybe with our minds someplace else, or we're thinking about work, or we're thinking about a job, or we're thinking about, you know, things out in the world, and we're here physically, but we are forsaking this assembly because of the need here. It says, not forsaking to ourselves together, but exhorting one another. That's participation. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, as we go on, recognizing that we're in the battle. And so a lot of believers may be a part of the assembly, but they still forsake that assembly. And that's why it's so important that we come into the house of God ready to receive. Got to be ready. I want to do my best as far as my part, praying and asking God to help and try to have a message and study and be prepared that way. But you've got to ask the Lord to help you as well so that you can get what the Lord has for you. This week, I responded to a question concerning church attendance. We had one of our trivias this week had to do with we should not do this as the manner of some is. And of course, it's forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And so somebody had asked me a question. It went like this. Is missing church a sin unless you are physically unable? Goes on to say, may sound stupid, but could you clarify anyway? Is missing church a sin? Is missing church a sin? Without question, one of the greatest strengths to our Christian faith is the assembling of ourselves as a church body. We've been taught it, many of us have been taught it, and no doubt have said it to others, that the most important thing you can do as a Christian is come through those doors every time that they're open. Amen. Put yourself in the house of God. Why? Because of the strength that that affords us. This visible assembly of born-again, baptized believers, in which Jesus Christ is our head, and our rule book is God's holy word, and we are being led by the Holy Spirit of God. It offers to you, this assembly, it offers to you and I, as His children, far more than I believe we realize. Far more than we realize, this assembly. But is it a sin not to attend? Is it a sin not to attend? I've never been asked that question before. I've often, you know, just assumed people understood as a Christian we ought to go to church. But I've never been asked the question, is it a sin not to go to church? I've never been asked that, because while we can point out all of the promises to those who go to church, all of the prosperities within the lives of those that are faithful to God's house, all of the powers and the spiritual provision afforded to those who are faithful to God's house, is it a sin not to go? Is it a sin not to come to church? Now, again, we know that we have scriptural basis for things concerning the church. We have a scriptural basis for the church's power. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. The Bible says the gates of hell, when the Lord said, "This is upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it," we recognize that the church has great power, great authority to charge the world with the gospel message and to be productive. We understand there's a scriptural basis for the church's pattern. The Bible teaches the concept of meeting upon the first day of the week. Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week. That is the Christian Sabbath. I believe the Bible teaches that in pattern. We bring the storehouse, we lay by Him in store on the first day of the week. That's our tithes and our giving to the Lord. We have that scriptural pattern of the first day of the week. We also have the pattern of that same day at even. The disciples met together.
In the book of Acts, chapter number 4, we understand they met every day. And it was the church. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And then we're told here in Hebrews chapter number 10 that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, I think I say this to try to put out there that in many respects, there's no, I go to church on Sunday, that's the Lord's day, and that's all I need. We don't have that kind of a pattern in Scripture. The pattern is when God's people meet together, then the rest of God's people ought to be there. That's the pattern. That's why when we have revivals and we have conferences and various meetings, when your church is meeting, you should be there. Amen. And I'm getting ahead of myself, amen? And so while we can point out scriptural basis for the church's power, and we can point out scriptural basis for the church's pattern, we can also point out scriptural basis for the church's protection. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, there that fellow was involved in sin, and as long as he was a part of that church body, he had a protective barrier around him. And so Paul, a judge in his spirit, told the church, take that guy, put him out of the church for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be safe. So we know and we learn from that there's protection in the church. We also know there's scriptural basis for the church being the organism that glorifies God. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:21, unto Him be glory in the church. In the church. By Christ Jesus, world throughout end, amen. Unto Him be glory in the church. So, the Bible gives us basis for the church's power, the church's pattern, the church's protection, the church's praise, the church's people. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 says that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the people of God. We are to function a certain way within the confines of the house of God, or if you will, of the church. We have scriptural basis for the purpose of the church. Matthew 28 and of course, in the book of Mark also, we're told to go and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, the Great Commission given to the church. The church has a purpose. We have scriptural basis for the church's provision. In Acts chapter number 4, the Bible says, neither was there any among them that lacked. For the Bible says that they took all their possessions, kind of pulled them together, and anybody had need, the church would supply that need. The church's provision. And of course, we have the scriptural teaching, the basis, and the truth of the church's pinnacle or potentate, or if you will, the chief prince, Jesus Christ, who, talking about Christ, dearly loves the church. Why? Because he lived for the church, and then he gave his life for the church, and one day the church will be presented to him as a bride. A glorious church, having neither spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We know that there's scriptural basis for the church in all of these areas. But is it necessarily a sin not to attend church? Is it a sin not to attend church? I often say, you don't have to go to church to be saved, and that's true. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. You don't have to go to church to be saved. Salvation is in a person, not in a program or any church or any man. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the person of Jesus, who was the Son of God. So you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. At the same time, I've also said, I do not know one good Christian is not faithful to attend God's house. I don't know one. I don't know one that's not faithful to God's house. But does that mean they are sinning when they don't go? Does that mean others are sinning when they do not attend church? Well, to make a blanket statement declaring that to miss church is a sin, I believe would be foolish. Obviously, if you are physically unable. Obviously, if your vehicle breaks down and you have no transportation, cannot make it. If you're involved in some sort of emergency situation, to miss church in any of these sorts of scenarios, I don't guess could ever be considered a sin. And it really comes down to, when it comes to missing church, it really comes down to a person's willingness to individually examine themselves as to their reason for missing church. Is it a sin to miss church? Why? Here's my outline tonight. Number one, because to miss church, missing church may not be a sin, but it may be a sign. To miss church, it may not be a sin, but it may be a telling sign. Here in our text in Hebrews chapter number 11, I think first of all that there may be a sign, first of all, of lacking love. A lacking of love. Remember there in these last days, in our text here, these folks were in great persecution, and boy, the reasons were very numerous as to why they may not assemble with the believers. And they're told in verse number 22, let us draw near with a true heart. With a true heart. In verse 22, that speaks of our love. That speaks of our adoration toward the things of the Lord. So there may be a lacking of love. Not only a lacking of love in this area, but verse number 24, he says, let us consider one another. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. To miss church may not be a sin, but it may be a sign of lacking love. From your love to the Lord. We see in verse 22, let's draw near, talking about to that verse 21, high priest over the house of God. Talking about Jesus Christ. Let's draw near with a true heart. Not only a lack of love from you to the Lord, but how about a lack of love from you to the other church members? In verse 24, let us consider one another. And then a lack of love from others to you. Very like the church, I understand, maybe the reason there's a lot of empty pews here is because there's a lack of love from us to them. To provoke unto love, not forsaking this, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. Could be a lacking love. I see, secondly, maybe a sign not only of a lacking love, but of a wavering walk. Wavering in our walk. Verse number 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Without wavering. Is it a sin not to come to church? It may not be a sin, but it may be a sign. It may be. I don't know. I'm not up here judging. I'm just bringing these things out because I think they're true. It could be a wavering walk. This is where your response concerning going to church may be something like this. I know I should, but I know I should, but see, that's wavering. That's wavering. That's recognizing what you ought to do, but for some reason choosing what you want to do. I know I should. How about this? This is to say, I can, but I'm not. I can, but I'm not. That's a wavering in your walk. Somewhere along the line, you have not settled that going to church for the believer is the right thing to do. And you never make, I'm telling you right now, too many times, and I mean people that you think are great examples of believers, too many times, they decide whether or not they're going to go to church. You need to determine that I, as a child of God, belong in the house of God, and I'm going to go. I'm not making that decision anymore. I'm not doing it. Now, from now on, every every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and if whatever the case, if the Lord allows you, if you're able to be here, you don't make the decision. You're going to be there. That's the way it ought to be. Apart from that, it's a wavering in your walk. Let's hold fast. Let's hold fast. Hold fast. We know the book of James tells us about those that waver. The Bible says, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, tossed with the wind. Let me turn over and read it because I'm going to mess it up here. Just a couple of pages. In James chapter 4, verse number 17. The Bible says, nope, that's not right. It is James chapter number, let me find my notes here. I'm sorry, what was it? James 1, verse 5 and 6. Verse 6 is what I had noted. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Here it is. For he that wavereth. Oh man, should I go to church? I know I should, but I know I can, Matt. You know, if that's where you are, that's a wavering in your walk. You've not settled it. And the Bible says, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Tossed. Oh, how many Christians can I liken to that their lives are definitive as those being tossed? Is it a sin to go to church? It may not be a sin, but it may be a sign. Number two, it may not be a sin to miss church. Yeah, to not go to church. Thank you, Brother Jerry. It may not be a sin to miss church, but it may be a stupid decision. And I say stupid on purpose. Stupid has a definition. The word means to be dull or insensible, senseless, to be wanting in understanding, and to be sluggish. It's just not wise to miss church. It may not be a sin. It's just stupid. It ain't wise. The Bible says here, notice the words here in the Bible. Look at verse number 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth. All right, and he's talking about, again, staying in the context of the need to assemble together, that we would not forsake that assembling together. He said there's a need for understanding. If we don't partake in the assembling of God's house, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But 27 says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. Why does he have to teach this principle? Why does he have to show them and remind them of this principle? Because those that forsake the assembly are lacking in that understanding. It's just a bad, unwise decision. We need this assembly as God's children, especially in these last days. We need to be together. And that's why we meet, to encourage one another and to lift up one another and to be around the Word of God and lift up our voices in praise to our God, to be a part of this assembly. And then verse number 28 says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. This need of understanding. I believe it may not be a sin to miss church, but it may be stupid. Stupid in practice because it's unwise. When we do this, we lose God's leading. We lose God's leading. There you are at home watching television. There you are at home just going through the motions of existing. There you are at home sitting up on the couch, you know, doing whatever. God's people are meeting together and you're not there. And whatever takes place here, you missed out on. I believe God had a message for every parent and grandparent here. I said Sunday night, and you didn't make it. And I'd encourage you to get that CD and listen to that message. It'll be a help to you. But what we experienced here Sunday night, if you weren't here, you missed it. You missed that. You missed it. That means that what God gave us Sunday night, you're lacking. That makes you, to a degree, stupid. And I'm not making fun of you. And I know we use that word in a harsh way, but I'm just saying, you're dull of what we experienced Sunday night. And that happens every time you miss. Every time. Every time. Not only is it stupid in practice, but it's stupid in productivity. It is not for you to miss church when you could be here. It's not only is stupid in practice, that is, it's unwise, but it's stupid in productivity. What are you going to get out of it staying home? Zero. It has no life giving. You missed, not only missed out on what we experienced here Sunday night, if you were here or any service, I'm using that for an example, but other services, when you miss, it's not only bad practice on your part, but it's non-productive for the Christian cause. It's non-productive. May not be a sin, but it may be stupid. Why? Because we miss out on God's teaching. And how about this? We mar God's testimony. Christians ought to be at church. Christians ought to be at church. If you can't. Again, I don't. Is it a sin? It'd be foolish for me to give a blanket statement saying that it is a sin not to be in church. There's a lot of reasons that may arise. And so missing church may not be a sin, but it may be a sign, and it may be stupid. Number three, it may not be a sin to miss church, but it may be awful selfish. Selfish. Again, remember verse number 24, in these latter days, said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Boy, we start turning every mirror in the house on ourselves, and it's all about us. We recognize the benefits of being in God's house, but because it's all about us, we disregard our mate and their need to be here. We disregard our children and their need to be here. And again, if the child's ruling the roost at the home, they disregard the need of the parents to be at the church because they just cannot come. You know, I love the testimony of Brother Dwayne. I hope he doesn't mind sharing it with me sharing it with you. Sunday, we were in finance committee, and we was talking about him. He was playing ball. I don't know how the subject come up, was playing ball and stuff, and he made this statement. He said, you know, he said, we went to church. His whole life he was taken to church, and that's not anything new. But he said when he started playing ball, he said this. He said, I quit playing ball because it was keeping my daddy out of church. How about that? How about that? Son. Boy, quit playing ball because it kept his daddy out of church. Because he knew his dad wanted to be there. Son. God, give us young people like that today. See, we're all wrapped up in what we want. It's all about what we want. And whatever the case might be, but what a great testimony. You may be tired. I'm talking about your adults. You may have the sniffles. You may have a headache. You may have stubbed your toe. You may be mad at someone at church. It's so much so that it's... And because it's all about you, that your children cannot come, your mate cannot come. Or as I preach Sunday night, mom or dad can't come because little Susie or Junior got their feelings hurt somewhere and they had to stay home with them. Selfish. Isn't that selfish? Shake your head like this. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Brother Brian. Yes, it is. All right, I may need to read that point again. Amen. Let's consider one another. Let's consider one another. Let's consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not about me. It's not about me. Is it a sin not to come to church? It may not be a sin, but it may be a sign. It may be stupid. Number three, it may be selfish. Number four, it may not be a sin not to come to church, but it could lead to sin. It could lead to sin. Verse number 29, here, again, this context here, staying ever so close to the Lord and being a part of that assembly where God moves and God works as Christ as the head there. And staying with that that thought of how much sorer punishment. Suppose ye, shall it be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. The work that God has prepared for us is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. For us to make light of any aspect of that, and of course the church is part of that, it's going to put you on the wrong side of God. Here he says, of how much sore punishment suppose he shall he be thought worthy, trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. It could lead to sin. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there are not a lot of avenues influencing holiness in this world in which we live. Not a lot of avenues influencing holiness in this world in which we live. And to miss church, where you are constantly reminded of what sin is, where you're reminded of the dangers of sin, where you are reminded of how to avoid sin, where you are reminded of how to be cleansed from sin, it is to set yourself up for a fall. It may not be a sin, but it can sure lead you to sin. You stay away from God's house, you start living your life according to your own view and your own sight and your own intellect, and you've cut yourself off from the spiritual, one of the greatest spiritual strongholds for you and I in our faith, in our Christian faith, the house of God, the church of God. Where are you going to get your counsel from? Television? And we'll turn on and all them sodomites and God haters and God doubters and preacher mockers and all that stuff. Listen to that. What are you going to come away with? Turn on the computer. Get on your Facebook and find out what the latest gossip is of everybody in the country. I'm glad I don't have a Facebook. Wifey's got a Facebook now. You know that, don't you? She got it for spiritual reasons, though, didn't you? She needed those men to play. She needed those tickets to play Candy Crush. But here we go. Yeah, don't get me on that either. But when I see what she's going through on that Facebook, it makes me even more glad that I don't have one. I don't need that junk. Why, I'd be cutting people off so fast, and all it's going to do is cause problems. When you got to tell somebody you don't want to be their friend anymore, what do you think that does? That causes problems. And my goodness, I'm a pastor. I sure don't need to be in a position where I have to tell somebody I can't be your friend anymore. They might be a church member. I don't need that. I don't need that. And neither do you. Amen. But I'm just saying, what are you going to do? You don't come to church. You're just there at the house going through the motions. You're going to listen to radio, turn on the television. Psalm 73, I think about Psalm 73 in so many areas. This is a very, very powerful psalm. In Psalm 73, there's Asaph. Remember, we know Asaph. God is good to Israel, such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Why? Because I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. We go on down through there, and we look at this man Asaph, and we wonder, how on earth can a guy get to this place in his life? Well, we don't know how long he was there, but here's what I do know. The Bible says in verse number 17 that he was in the case he was in until he went into the sanctuary of the Lord. And it was his presence in the house of God that the Bible says allowed him to gain wisdom. Then understood I therein. Now, notice what he was involved with until that time came. The Bible says in verse number 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper. I'm talking about when you're away from the house of God, you're sitting at home, now your own intellect's in charge. The ways of the world, the philosophies of the world are feeding your mind. The wicked are the ones prospering. Verse 13, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Not only do you start looking at the ungodly that are prospering, then you start thinking that all is vanity. I've wasted my time. Verse number 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened, the Bible says, and chastened every morning. You start falling into this poor, poor, pitiful me. Why? Because you've cut yourself off from the very strength of your Christian faith and not going to church. Verse number 15, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. I love that verse there because that verse is so descriptive of an individual who says, you know what? At one time I didn't think this way. And in fact, I have taught that it's always right to go to church. But now I'm thinking that you don't have to really go to church all the time. That's what he's saying there. That's why he said it would be almost like I would look foolish to tell others that you don't really have to go to church. But that's what he's thinking here. Well, he said, I would be so weird that I would say these things that once I didn't believe this way, but now I'm saying it. Why? Because he's out of the house of God. And in verse number 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went to the sanctuary. So, is missing church a sin? Listen, I can't tell you whether it's a sin or not. I just know it's not necessarily a sin, but it may be a sign. It may not be a sin, but it may be stupid. Number three, it may not be a sin, but it may be selfish. And number four, it may not be a sin, but it can sure lead to sin. Number five, it may not be a sin, but then again, it might be. It might be. 10 and verse 26, the Bible says, for if we sin willfully, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. I wonder if that context of, if it's staying right in line there, that sinning willfully is when we forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I don't know. And it may not be. But the Bible teaches us, as God's children, the worth of church faithfulness. That is, the benefits of going to church. These benefits, we've got to understand, are not limited to just you and I as individuals. The benefits of our faithfulness to God's house also reach out to the lost and to those that are discouraged and to those that are needing restoration. So the benefits that come with being faithful to God's house, they are not only to us, but they're to the whole world that need what we've received from God's house. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The Bible says we ought to know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. Do you not think that putting this vessel, I'm talking about myself in the third person, if I in my soul, in my will, put this vessel in the house of God, do you not think that that's a good place for it to be as a Christian? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So I put myself there. Why? Because I want to be in shape. I not only want to be in shape for myself, but I want to be in shape for the world. Because I belong to God. I want to be a good testimony. And as I come in here, I'm made stronger, and my faith is increased, and my trust is challenged, and my spirit is lifted up, and now I can go out full to be poured out for God's honor, for God's glory. I don't get that when I stay home. I don't get that when I stay home. I cannot get that when I stay home. So it may be a sin, and if I cannot be the witness that God wants me to be, I believe that could be considered a sin. And why am I not that witness? Well, one reason, because I'm not going to church like I should. Faithfulness to church. Is going to church a good thing? Is it a good thing? Is it good to come? Is it good to encourage one another? We know the Bible teaches that right there. Is it good to come and sing and lift up our voices and praise our God? Is it good to come as parents when we shuffle our children right in here with us and we sit down with them and we pray together and we praise together and we read the Word of God together, we partake of the preaching together, and we have invitation together? Is that good or not? The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I like that. The Bible's so good. To him it is sin. See, it's your individual call. You can get mad at me and say, "Boy, you know, that preacher, he said you ain't right with God if you don't come to church." I hope you understand that in a roundabout way, that's not what I'm saying tonight. I'm saying you may have to say that about yourself. Because, see, there are times when you cannot make it to church. My goodness, you're in a hospital. Some emergency arises or you're sick. I mean, I don't want to call the road. There's a lot of things that could happen that could hinder your ability to be here. But you know what that is. Not me. And so it may not be a sin to miss church. But you have to ask yourself, is it a sign? You know, we gave out those Pressing Toward the Mark booklets, and if you've ever kept up with those, one of the areas there is keeping up in church attendance. And I wonder if you've ever chronicled your faithfulness to church over the course of the year in one of those. I doubt it. Nobody's come and shared it with me anyway. But you might be wise, especially if you have a hard time being faithful. You might chronicle and find out, where do I tend to drop off? Where do I tend to drop off? So that you can prepare for that and have that goal of making it 52 Sundays a year in the house of God. That's why I love Maria. Maria, you're perfect. The Lord had you established to be here with us tonight. I want to go to church. I need to go to church. Well, I can't go to my church, so let me just go over here to Longview. Amen. Praise God. I love that. When we go out of town, wifey, we're in church. We're going to church. Why? It's not a part of anything other than putting ourselves where we as believers are supposed to be. Of course, today we have the internet that helps in some people's cases where they cannot come. I know often Brother David Flores, and I don't know, he may be watching from his whatever at home. My goodness, you got a house full of kiddos. They're sick about every other week. And Miss Jerry has a hard time keeping up with the kids. I can understand he may not be able to be here. I don't know. So I'm saying it's not necessarily a sin, but it may be a sign. It may be stupid. It may be selfish. And it could lead to sin. And the truth is, it may be sin. It may be sin. As we possess our vessels in sanctification and honor, and we should do all we can to strengthen our walk, our witness, our worship, our work, and then win the Christian life in great victory. It is good to go to church. And James 4:17 says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." As I close tonight, is it a sin to miss church? If someone asked, that depends on your reason for missing. That depends on your reason. I do find it more than coincidental that those who are faithful to attend church express the greatest joy and excitement for the Lord and for His cause. While those who are hit and miss, they're here a while and then gone a while, and they tend to lack open expressions of joy and happiness and are often content to stay in the proverbial shadows, not getting involved. And is that a good thing? No. No. But the reasons for missing church are varied. I cannot answer. Though it may not be a sin, it may be a sign. may be stupid, could be selfish, can lead to sin, and in fact may be sin. The question is, what are your reasons for missing church? When you miss, what are your reasons? What are your reasons? Are they really just bad excuses? Why not tonight ask the Lord to help you set a course to be faithful to God's house and determine tonight to stop making excuses? Let's stand together, our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we pray for your anointing now in the invitation time. God, you'd meet with us with your sweet anointing.